Well, we are in Exodus chapter 40, the last chapter of the book of Exodus. We've been in an awesome journey together, and we get to wrap it up. And then next week, we're going to start the book of Leviticus. It's one of my favorites. There's so much in there. I know there's going to be, there's some rough spots in there, but if you want to find diamonds, you got to dig. And if you dig, I guarantee you in the Word of God, if you draw near to the God, He will draw near to you, the Scripture tells us. So let's go into a word of prayer, and we're going to jump straight into the text. Lord, what an amazing journey as we travel through your scriptures and what you teach us and show us. And it hurts my heart, Lord, to know that so many people are missing out because they're not learning the whole counsel of your word. And we just want to thank you and praise you for drawing us into a place that does that. You know, we pray that you would help us look under every stone, under every rock, and that you would be leading us and directing us and helping us get out those precious nuggets, those gems that you've hidden for us to find. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if we look at verses 1 through 5 together, Exodus chapter 40. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. 3. You shall put in it the ark of the testimony, and partition off the ark with the veil. You shall bring in the tablet, the table, and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. Verse 5. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense, therefore the ark of the testimony, and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. So it's been 1 year since they have left Egypt, and now, as Moses was spoken to by the Lord, they're going to assemble the tabernacle. They're going to put it all together. Now, we've mentioned this before. This is something they're going to do over and over and over again, but this is the first time. And they're assembling all the parts, but the first thing they're going to do is they're going to put the testimony in the ark. They're putting the tablets, handwritten by God, inside the Ark of the Testimony, being hidden. And the Word of God is written on the tablets of our heart, the Bible says. It's hidden inside of us. But here we have the handiwork of God, and it's being put in the Ark, the lid's being on top, and it's going to be behind. And then what do they put up immediately right after? The veil. You cannot go in there. You can't get in there. It's forbidden. Only Aaron will be allowed to go in there, only the high priest, only on the associated times, and only going through every layer. We're going to start as we're assembling this in the inner court, in the inner holy of holies, and we're going to work our way out. And every single step is showing us that we are separated from God, that there's a big gap between us and the presence of God without our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. Now, this is 1 year since they left Egypt, and it's just fitting as we're ending the book of Exodus to remember where we have come from. All the way back when we started the book of Genesis. Remember Adam? God breathed into the dirt, and Adam came forth. The Lord pulled out of his side Eve. Then there was the fall, and then the separation. Then there was the curse. And then we saw the Table of Nations, and we saw the separation. We saw the Tower of Babel and the people being dispersed and the languages being dispersed. We saw Abraham, who was Abram. He was called out. He was taken to the Promised Land, and yet he never saw the Promised Land. He lived by faith, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, justified by faith. Then we saw his sons' sons, and their sons, and we saw that family begin to grow, and then they became a tribe with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with Joseph, and then Joseph was sold by his brothers into the nation of Egypt. And then we saw in the beginning of the book of Exodus, the handoff in Exodus, they had forgotten, the Egyptians had fought for just forgotten who the great things that had happened through Joseph. They forgot all that. And slowly but surely, they lost their rights until they became enslaved as a nation. Then finally, we picked up with Pharaoh, who instituted forced abortion on the males. Every male child of the nation of Israel was to be executed. But we saw that the handmaidens didn't listen, and they decided to go another route, and we saw Moses put into the Nile. And we saw God raise him up, and after 40 years in the desert, he returned, and the Lord, in his timing, delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt, conquered Pharaoh and his armies. Remember, they were throwing their stuff at the Israelites. Get this stuff, take it, get out of here. The crossing of the Red Sea, then at Mount Sinai. Remember, Moses is up there, he's receiving the commandments, he comes down, his face is glowing. And what did he see? That future great high priest, that one that was going to be the closest to God, who was going to wear the holy robes, had made an idol, and the people of Israel were worshiping it. And then my favorite part, it's also the saddest part, Moses, didn't you see that? It's amazing. This thing spontaneously came out. Evolution, Moses, this is evolution. It just came out of nothing. Of course, we know that was not true. Neither of those things are true. And then Moses threw down the tablets, had to go back up. Yet the Lord did not forsake the nation of Israel. And here we are with the final assembling after all these chapters of the proclamation of what was to be done and then them having actually been made. We're assembling it all together. And after all these things, it is still reminding us that God has not forsaken the people of Israel. He's not forsaken us. He's not left us. But at this time in the Old Testament, there is still no way to enter into his presence. The full restoration from the fall has not happened. Let's continue now in verses 6 through 11. We have the testimony there, the ark. We have the Holy of Holies. We have the veil. And now in verses 6 through 11. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall set the laver between the tabernacle and the meeting and the altar and put water in it. And you shall set up the court all around it and hang up the screen at the court gate. Verse 9. And you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. So starting again from the inside, the tabernacle, you have the Ark of the Covenant, you got the veil. In front of the veil is the altar of incense. As you're backing away on your left is going to be the lampstand. On the right is a table of showbread. As you back out of the tent and you're in the court, you didn't have the laver, which is how they wash themselves. And before that is going to be the altar where the sacrifices are made right at the gate. And that is the outer courtyard. Remember, if you were an everyday Israelite, you cannot go in there. That outer court is as far as you're going to get where the sacrifices are made. You're never going inside the tent, unless you are a priest. Never. Not going to happen. The closest you are going to get is reading this aloud, is people reading this text about what's inside there. Because you're never going to see it apart from it being taken apart and brought in the desert. Verses 12 through 16. And you shall bring Aaron. Didn't we get rid of that guy? No. God uses him. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. And you shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, and they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Verse 16. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So he did. We're working backwards out of the tabernacle. Let's work backwards through this text. First, how much better would your life be if just whatever the Lord told you to do, you did it? I don't know about you, but I'd be in a different place. And I would have missed a lot of pain in my life. Now, and I'm not unhappy with where God has me. I am just so grateful for his grace. But you know what I'm getting at. If we just simply read the Bible and did what it told us to do. Right? It's that simple. And we think that about the Israelites, right? He came down the mountain with the tablets, the tables of stone with God's finger painting on there. God's hand wrote that. And they broke it before he even came down the mountain. Before he even came down, it was broken. And we think to ourselves, why couldn't you just wait one more minute and then just do what he says? But you know where I'm getting at, don't you? Why couldn't you just wait one more minute and do what he says? Well, come on, Mike. That's Moses, glowing face, tablet. I mean, that's so different. We have Jesus Christ, a great high priest, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Holy of Holies, the one in whom all things consist. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Helper. He's anointed us. He's taught us. He's given us miracles and signs and archaeological evidence and scientific wonders. Even the heavens declare the firmament of God, the handiwork of God. He's given us this most holy word, perfect in all of its ways, inerrant. And we've had centuries of people trying to destroy this book, and yet here it is, standing strong. And you think that they had it better off back then? They didn't have it better off. They couldn't go into that tabernacle. But we are a temple, the Bible tells us, of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't get any easier than what you have right now. And so I ask you, why can't you just wait one more minute and do what the book says? And so isn't that a beautiful word there in verse 16? Thus Moses did according that all the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And I'm not lecturing you. I am preaching to myself. Just do what it says. Just do what it says. Now let's go backwards. Aaron's sons and Aaron are chosen by God to be priests, to represent the people. The priest is an intermediary. We don't have priests in the church anymore. Why don't we have priests? A priest is an intermediary between God and man. Well, you say, well, I know of other places that have priests. Hey, I'm not speaking for them. I'm just telling you in the Bible, it says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No man on this planet can bring you closer to God than God himself, and that's Jesus. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And all who call upon him shall be saved. But what amazes me most is, as I was reading verse 13, really, God, you choose Aaron? I mean, come on. He let you down. Yes. God says, I want him. I want him. I've made a promise with him. It's going to be him. And then what do you see? They're washed. They're consecrated. These words, consecrate, holy, washing. These ceremonies, these things are to represent a separating away from the world to the holy, to God. Holy means separated unto God. We're also separating from the flesh to the spirit. We're casting those things aside. We're living a new life. And you and I are to reckon the old man dead. We're to separate from him, from her, to consecrate ourselves, to dedicate ourselves to God, and to pull away from the things of the world. The Bible tells us that love of the world is enmity with God, at odds with God. And so we are, as a kingdom of priests, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, children of Abraham through him, we are to consecrate ourselves and to wash ourselves and to dedicate ourselves to God. No longer through another man, no longer to Aaron. We don't no longer say, oh, that guy's doing it for me. We do it. But you say, okay, well, what do I do? Do we need to make a tent and we need to get it all sprinkle, sprinkle? The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are to wash ourselves in the water of the word. More specifically, guys, we're to wash our wives in the water of the word in Ephesians chapter 5. Wash your wives in the water of the world. To love your wife as Christ loved the church and to wash them in the water of the word. And so we see that precept throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us, how does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto his word, unto thy word. How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, I'm an old man. Well, compare yourself to Methuselah and tell me how old you are. It's just a matter of context, right? Methuselah is the oldest man that ever lived. It's in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. You're going to have to check it out. Extra credit. is the Word of God. And then what did we see before that? We're going to keep unraveling it. The Levites, the Aaronic covenant, Aaron and his sons, they were consecrated to God. But then also the things of the tabernacle and the altar and the utensils, they were all anointed with oil. Sprinkle, 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 sprinkle. They were, but this is just symbolic. The Bible tells us that if any of you are sick, to come to the front and the elders will anoint you with oil and the prayer of faith will heal you. We do that by faith. I don't know what's going to happen, but I will tell you this. This I know. There is no magic in the oil. I've had oil from Jerusalem. I've had oil that was handmade. I've had oil that I got off the shelf at Publix. I've had oil where I was like, oh my gosh, what do we have in the pantry? This will work because I'm anointing my kids. It does not matter. It does not matter. There, I'm going to tell you a secret. All my hands pass is germs. That's it. But the Bible says the laying on of hands. And so we do it by faith. We anoint with oil on occasion, and then we laying on of hands for the Holy Spirit, for healing, just bonds of brotherhood, godly embrace. We do it by faith. See, it's not those things. It's not the sprinkles that do anything. It's being obedient to the God of the universe in whom all things consist. We pray in Jesus' name that these things would be so, because it's not the prayer, it's who you're praying to. And we're to pray in accordance with his will and to be obedient. The results are his. I don't make apologies for people if he heals them or if he doesn't heal them. I don't. We're just being obedient. You know, what God does in that moment is up to him. He's the boss. He's the Lord. I'm not the Lord. And if you're not praying for people to be healed because you don't have enough faith, that's your problem. I will tell you this, you're robbing other people. You're robbing the people that you should be praying for. But Mike, what if nothing happens? That's not in the instruction manual. That is not your problem. You just, the prayer of faith. So we anoint with oil. Doesn't matter what kind. Now, I think there's something special when, you know, friends or family or loved ones are making a special preparation of oil. I think there's an extra dose of love in there. And if we have not love, then we're clanging cymbals. And so I do think that that's important. I think that's special. As for healing, though, it's not the added ingredient. You see, the tabernacle and the priesthood and the utensils and all these things, they are holy. They are separated to God. Remember, the high priest even has a plate on top of his forehead. What does it say? Holiness to the Lord, separated to God. But remember this, it is all stuff. It's all stuff. Oh, Mike, but this is anointed by God. This is according to God's plan. Yes, yes. But remember this. The Lord bulldozed the temple twice because it no longer represented him. The stuff is irrelevant. Our souls are eternal. Eternal. Believer and non-believer alike, the soul is eternal. But I ask you this, are you focused more on the ceremony and the stuff, or are you focused on the Lord and obeying his will? Are you more focused on your walk with Christ and growing in him and the things that these things represent, the fullness thereof is found in Jesus? Are you seeking after Jesus, or are you looking for sprinkle, sprinkle, stuff, ceremony, robes? You know, there's no power in that. We are washed in the power and the water of the Word. We are filled with the Spirit of God. Are you like Moses, doing all that the Lord has commanded you? Let's continue, verses 17 through 21. I am way behind. I blame Ed. And it came to pass, verse 17, in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. And so Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in its bars, and raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on the top of it. As the Lord had commanded Moses, he took the testimony and put it into the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung it up hung up the veil of the covering, partitioned off the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. It's all coming together, literally. But isn't it something special as a Christian when things are all starting to come together in your life? Like those beautiful moments, because we walk by faith and not by sight, right? But every once in a while, the Lord gets you to see the big picture. And you see it come together and you're like, oh my gosh, this was your plan? This is beautiful. Lord, I'm so grateful. I didn't understand what you were making those sockets. I didn't know how it would fit. Lord, the poles? I was like, how are you going to use these poles, Lord? But it's all coming together. I was sharing with a couple brothers right before church that I was working today and one of my coworkers asked how the church was planted. I said, well, buckle up, son. Let me tell you a story. But it just gave a moment to peek out and say, look at what the Lord has assembled. Look, when he moved you here from wherever you came from, when how you found this place, how we are assembled, the living word of God living inside of us, and how he put all these things together. I couldn't have planned all that. I couldn't have had a 5-year on a whiteboard, okay, we're going to do this, and then this is going to happen. We just walk by faith. And every once in a while, like we're doing here, looking at the tabernacle coming together for Moses with inspection, every once in a while, we get to lift our head up and say, Lord, you are putting together something amazing. Don't let me mess it up. That's my motto. That's my ministry motto. Just let the Lord work and don't mess it up. Verses 22 through 23. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. And the table of the tabernacle of meeting and the bread. And we know that the Lord, he is the bread of life. Now, let's continue reading from 22 all the way to 23. Verse 24. And he put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across the table and on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 26. And he put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned sweet incense on it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and he put the water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it. Whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And in verse 33, and he raised up the court all around the tabernacle at the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. And so verses 22 to 23, we saw the table of showbread in the holy place. 24 and 25, the lampstand in the holy place. 26 to 27, the golden altar of incense put in the holy place. 28, the screen is hung at the entrance. 29, the brazen altar. 30 and 32, the laver for washing hands and feet every single time, go in and out. And in 33, we saw the outer court. And so everything is assembled. But from Exodus chapter 36 all the way to chapter 40, we see 19 times, and it was. Exactly the way that God said, it's done. Exactly the way that God says, it's done. 19 times, over and over and over and over again. How beautiful things are when we just walk step in step with the Lord. The problem is that we get in the way. We're the ones that stumble. We're the ones that fail. We're the ones that hinder him. And it's because of our brokenness. And yet he loves us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we see all these rituals and all these things. That bread sitting there on that table is not eaten. No one can touch it for a week. And then it goes stale, and then only the priest can eat it. Now compare that to the fulfillment that we have in Jesus. Up there on that hill. Hey, you guys, everybody's hungry. Why don't you go give them something to eat? Why don't you feed them? Yeah, Lord, come on. You know we don't have anything, and we don't have enough money to pay for all the food. That's like a board meeting right there. That's a church board meeting. We don't have enough, Lord, we don't have enough money to pay for all, to give food to everybody. What do we have? We just have these loaves and these fishes. Give them to me. And he broke that bread and he blessed it. And then they started passing and passing and passing and passing. And they had more bread and fishes that was left over than what they started with. What else do we see at the table? The same table that the betrayer is going to betray him. Break this bread, share it with me, eat this bread in remembrance of me. And that's what we do. Jesus told them, I am the bread of life. Ritual is just stale and it brings you no food, no nourishment. A living relationship with the living God, with the fulfillment of the law, Jesus himself brings food and fulfillment to your soul. He brings healing. The law is perfect, and the Galatians, it says it leads man to Christ, that we need a Savior, that left to ourselves, we can't keep up these rituals. We just can't do it. The only thing that it offers us is a chance at an obedience, and we can't do it. But something else is missing here. The tabernacle is not complete. All the furniture's there, all the furnishings, they're obedient, they've done everything they're supposed to do. They've sprinkled, and cleansed, and washed, and cleaned as much as they could. It's missing verses 34 through 38. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, and they did not journey till the day that its task was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Without the presence of God, what is the point? If we're in fellowship, if you're in church and you're not seeking the presence of God, what are you doing here? It is a waste of time. And how do we know that the presence of God, where two or more are gathered? Yes, he is in the midst, but I've been to plenty of churches and there are plenty of great ones, plenty. When everything is about God, great. But Jesus becomes a mascot. Things are done in his name. Committees are put in his name. Plans are made in his name. But he's not leading. It's not about him. They're worshiping the people in the seats. How many people can they get in the seats? How many people came this week? How many people were baptized? How many confessions? How many? What kind of sermon series should we be in? If you don't have the Lord leading your fellowship, you're going nowhere. It's just a tent until the cloud is on top of it. And the second that the cloud began to move, the second that the cloud left the tabernacle, they get busy. Whoosh, wrap it up, boys. And they have each a role on how, and we're going to see that in Leviticus. Each person, each tribe, each family has a role. I don't know how fast they got this thing going, but it must have been quick. Hurry up. The pillar's leaving. We better go. And then they start walking in the desert. And then the pillar of cloud stops. And wherever it stops, guess what? Put that tent up, quick. Just like that, sound and everything. Can you see it, the cartoon? And they stopped. That's where God is. That's where we want to be. There's too much talk about, is the church influencing the world? Does the church have influence on culture? I don't care about culture. I want to be consecrated from culture. I want to be separate from that. Well, we're told to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, we are, but we're also called to be salt and light. And if salt has lost its flavor, what good is it? The problem is the church wants to lose as much flavor as possible and still be called salt so it's palatable. I don't care. One day the culture is going to esteem us. The other day they're going to cast us off. I just want to follow the master. Wherever he goes, that's where I'm going to pinch my tent. But what if we veer off? What if we miss? He will leave the 99 and go after the one. If you're in love with the Lord and you're seeking his word, he will bring you back. He will lead you to where you need to be. This is all about all of us together as a family, knitted together by the Lord, going where he wants us to go. And if we focus on him and him alone, we give him the glory. We worship him and not ourselves. We follow his word and not our feelings. And we don't let the world's politics and we don't let the world's culture and what movies are out there, that we separate ourselves from that. And we're in the world and we're salt and light. And above all, in 1 Corinthians, is summed up with love. If we're motivated by love, this agape love that he has for us, then we will have an impact. Then we will be the church that God has called us to be. Exodus 1 through 39, Exodus 1 through 40, without verses 34 through 38, pointless. Pointless. And how close the church can be, the church at large, and not have the presence of God and not be following the will of God. That's all I'm after. You guys can come with me if you want. If not, I'm going to leave you behind. But I praise God that if you love the Lord, you'll be right there with me. He will guide you and direct you. Next week, we'll be in the book of Leviticus. This evening, let's sit at the Master's feet together, shall we? We'll sit together in silence together. Or we will pray. I pray that we pray loud enough that we can all hear. If you're over here in that section, I'm over here. I cannot hear you. Unless you're loud. If you don't want to be loud, pray silently in your own heart. We'll agree with you through the Spirit of God. Let's spend the rest of this evening just praying and seeking after him. Thank you, Lord, for helping us, teaching us, and most importantly, not forsaking us, leading us through your word. Your word is a light unto our feet, and just as it was a pillar of fire at night, Lord, your light illuminates, your word illuminates our way. And we just pray that you would continue to help us do that. Lead us in your word. Give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We lead us in prayer tonight, Lord, as we wait upon you, praying for the sick, for the hurting, for those in authority, for the church. Guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.